Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Yes, I'm back. It's Naz with the Hidden Agenda Show. We are live to Reading and its surrounds, and we'll be getting into the topic about evolution. So it's all based upon evidence, and we're going to have an expert from the Harun Yahya organization all the way from Turkey to give us a call today, an expert in this matter. His name will be Dr. Babuna, and like I said, he's spent 15-20 years researching this and is an expert in this area. So these people are trained and represent Harun Yahya and the Harun Yahya organization. I think you'll see them on the internet. They've got a lot of coverage. That is, the Harun Yahya is not just an individual. Well, it is an individual called Adnan Oktar, but it's also now grown into an organization of several hundred people, and many of them are lecturers, scientists, creationists, people who are of the intellectual standard to run an organization, to tackle head on the likes of anyone, including Professor Richard Dawkins and many others as well. So this is the type of thing that we need to cover and we need to look at. And yes, I apologize in advance when these issues get complicated. But we are going to use technical terms because Islam requires us to give evidence and to give us explicit evidence. And that's how it is. Like I said, if you do have any questions, you can always give us a call on the telephone lines, or you can always give us a call and send a text message as well. So that's also something that you can do all the time, inshallah. So without further ado, let's get our guest speaker, inshallah, on the line and introduce him to everyone who is out there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother. This is Oktar Babuna from Turkey on behalf of brother Harun Yahya.
Dr. Babuna, how are you?
Excellent, alhamdulillah. It's a great pleasure and honor to be again with our brothers and sisters here. Jazakallah khair, brother.
Barakallah, you're welcome. And obviously, I know there is a time difference between here and Turkey, but I hope, inshallah, that you've had time to have your iftar. I think you guys have already broken your fast. Is that correct?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
That's good. Well, we'll be waiting for hours yet. Inshallah, ours is 45 minutes. Well, more than that. It's about an hour and a half away. So we'll, inshallah, have plenty of time over the next 45 minutes to discuss the topics at hand and move forward. And we'll see how things go from there. Dr. Babuna, what I'd like to do is, I know we've had you many times, and we had Harun Yahya and the Harun Yahya organization on the radio a number of times, but it would be good if you could just spend 2-3 minutes to describe what is the Harun Yahya organization, what does it represent, and what kind of projects does it do, just for our listeners, inshallah.
Inshallah. Harun Yahya is the pen name of Mr. Adnan Oktar. Mr. Adnan Oktar, who was born in 1956, is a Muslim, okay. Muslim scholar who has written more than 300 books, science, faith, and politics related. He is the author of The Creation Atlas, for example. Many of his books, about 45 of the books, are about scientific refutation of Darwinism, the disasters brought by Darwinism to the humanity, and also science leading to faith, scientific evidences of the creation of Allah. And also he has books about major topics in the Quran-based books, and right. Also some politics also about, for example, atheistic Freemasonry and other things, what's going on in the world.
Okay.
And also he's struggling in the way of Allah for the unity of Islam, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And then eradication of Darwinism and materialism, because he proves with the powerful evidences that Darwinism is the ideological foundation of the many pervert ideologies such as communism, fascism, terrorism, and racism.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Darwinism, the 20th century turned into the bloody arena. It's the bloodiest century of the entire human history.
Sure.
That is the reason why he's struggling so hard against Darwinism to eradicate it with scientific evidences.
Right, okay. So the people that are behind it, some of the scientists and some of the workers, are they qualified, or are they just people who just come off the street, received a bit of training, and now they think they are scientists? What is the caliber of the people that work behind the scenes?
Inshallah, we are our brothers and sisters are usually from business, lawyers, engineers, and doctors, and people who are sincere Muslims, alhamdulillah, struggling with Mr. Harun Yahya.
Sure.
Against these Darwinism nonsense, and also trying to spread the truth of Islam. Several hundreds of people, and so we have been together since many years with the brother Harun Yahya, who started his struggle in 1979.
I see.
About 32 years ago.
1979. Okay, what about yourself, Dr. Babuna? I mean, what motivated you to get involved with the Harun Yahya organization? What continues to inspire you, to be honest?
Well, Mr. Adnan Oktar, who I've seen him at the time of the, I was in the university, and I met him, actually, and I'm a medical doctor. I'm a brain surgeon.
MashaAllah.
And I saw his struggle. And it was, I'm so much affected. And then I learned from his books, actually. The first book I read, I learned that Islam, the religion, encompasses everything. The life, there is a purpose of this life.
Mm-hmm.
And to struggle in the way of Allah, inshallah, to live a life according to the laws of Allah, according to the Quran. And we have to live according to the Quran. And there is so many things going on in the world.
Right.
And we have to struggle for this. Allah orders us.
Mm-hmm.
Allah says, struggle in the way of Allah. I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Struggle in the way of Allah until there is no more fitna, until the religion is Allah alone. So I learned this, alhamdulillah, from Harun Yahya, brother Harun Yahya. I saw his life, saw his struggle, and it was, I thought I must join the struggle with brother Harun Yahya, because that is an order from Allah, inshallah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, alhamdulillah. Like I said, what we'll do is we'll continue with the subject today, like I said, in the expert area of Darwinism and evolution. And what I like to do is delve deeper than last week in some of the questions. Now, as I mentioned to the listeners of Wunama FM, I'd like to apologize in advance because it will get very technical. But at the end of the day, Islam requires dalil, which is evidence, and that's how we present. So any aspect of life, whether it's salah or it's the akams of marriage or whether it's to do with alcohol, everything in Islam requires dalil, evidence. And inshallah, in the same way here, we will go and look at this issue and use it for the evidences provided by Dr. Babuna today, inshallah. So one of the questions, Dr. Babuna, the first question I've got is, looking around on the evolutionist circuit and their forums, a lot of the evolutionists say that creationists don't really have much answers. And one of the popular questions they ask is, why do humans have genes? Where do we have genes in ourselves for making tails and brain receptors for using those tails? So obviously the idea has come from an evolutionist who's looked at the animal kingdom and seen that monkeys and lions and tigers and obviously the whole of the cat family has tails. Well, all of them, all animals have tails. But he's then looked at the genes of the human. And he's made this question of why do we have the genes? So I don't know if it's true whether we have it, but it's certainly from an evolutionary biologist who makes this claim. What was your response to that, inshallah?
First of all, that if you look at the scientific evidences, we immediately see Darwinism is a nonsense based on no scientific evidence. For example, if Darwinism would be a fact, evolution would be a fact, then we must have the fossil evidence of this. And we have 350 million fossils.
Right.
So objectively, without thinking about religion, and if you look at the fossil evidence, we immediately see, even the little children can see, understand, that there is no evolution. Because species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed.
Right.
That means there is no evolution, no transition between the species. Then if you look at the molecular biology and genetics, these are sciences, concrete evidences. The most powerful evidence comes from genetics, which is even a single protein to be formed requires, must have, other proteins must exist before this protein, at least 100 different proteins.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not enough. A DNA must exist. The organelles of a living cell must exist. A complete living cell must exist to produce a single protein. And this is the most powerful evidence which destroys Darwinism very fundamentally. So Darwinism is not science. Darwinism is defended against scientific evidences, against scientific evidences to keep atheism alive. So if you look at the scientific evidences objectively, we see there is a message in the nature everywhere, wherever we look. If you look at the single cell, the structure of the proteins, or the systems in the living beings, such as, for example, the solar systems in the bats, in the dolphins, or the brain, the nervous system, there is always a message, the atom, the universe, the message is that there is a creator with infinite wisdom, power, and artistry. That is a scientific evidence, and all the scientific evidence shows us there is a very delicate organization, balance, and harmony in the universe, which means there is a creator. So it follows to the fact that there must be a creator, and that is Allah, creator of everything.
Okay.
Now, your next question is that we are, the evolutionists claim, evolutionists always, whenever they come up with a so-called scientific evidence,
yeah.
But it's not a scientific evidence, to
yes.
support Darwinism, it is always a fallacy, a lie, because evolution never happened. So the claim that we have the genes for making tails
yes.
is a nonsense, because it is not based on any scientific evidence. If we would have, say, if we would have, for example, the genes for tails,
yes.
then we must be able to activate these genes and have tails. So we don't see any humans with tails. We don't have any genes of this because there is nothing to activate.
What about the lower part of the spine? Some people say the lowest part of the spine is where the tail was cut off or had evolved out of the humans. Is there any truth
yes.
in that?
Yeah, that's their claim. They
yes.
call that vestigial organs. There is something from the time of the Lamarck. Lamarck lived before Charles Darwin.
Yes.
He claimed that with the use and disuse organs,
uh-huh.
species evolved to other species. For example, they talk, he talked about the giraffe.
Yes.
He said the antelope-like animals, by trying to reach the higher branches of the trees,
mm-hmm.
their necks got longer and longer and they transformed into genes. But
okay.
at this time, the genetics was not known. So we know today, to use and disuse an organ does not have any effect on the genes. For example, even the vestigial organs, for example, by disuse of organs, they do not disappear. We have the DNA,
uh-huh.
and nothing, nor use and disuse of the organs, make any change in the DNA.
Right.
So we do not have any tail organs, and the spine, the coccyx,
mm-hmm.
the lower part of the spine, has very important functions. It's not a vestigial organ, as Darwinists claim.
I see.
Because the function of the spine, the coccyx is, without the coccyx, the lower part of the spine,
yes.
we would not be able to sit, because it has concrete effect on the protection of the lower part of the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also it's a bony structure where major muscle groups are attached to. So it has very important functions. And
right.
without the coccyx, you would not be able to function as a normal human being.
Okay, inshallah, that's fine. I think we'll leave it there because it gets very technical for the listeners as well as the presenter myself. Okay. One question that I want to touch on is what you mentioned already is the creator or God or super being or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever name you want to use. Now, a lot of people, again, including evolutionary biologists as well as atheists and many others, quite a lot of scientists, make a claim that you cannot empirically, materially, using the senses, prove that there is a creator. So, why believe in something that you cannot prove?
Okay. Of course, empirically. Empirically means experimentally.
Yes.
So, to have an empirical observation, we need our perceptions.
Yes.
But then we must, of course, that follows, then we have to perceive Allah. But this is impossible, of course.
Right.
We cannot perceive Allah. Allah created our vision.
Yes.
Allah created our hearing, touch and smell and taste sensations,
yes.
but Allah is beyond that. So we cannot see Allah, we cannot hear Allah, we cannot touch Allah, of course. Allah is beyond any perception, beyond anything. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran, actually. Allah said, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Eyesight cannot perceive him, but he perceives eyesight. He is the all-penetrating, the all-aware.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot perceive Allah. It is, but we know Allah through reason. That is one of the books of Harun Yahya. If our listeners go into the website, harunyahya.com,
yes.
they can download his books free of charge. One of his books is Allah is known through reason. We know Allah through reason. We see the evidences of existence of Allah, which
mm-hmm.
are scientific evidences. For example, whenever we look around in the nature, we see delicate harmony and organization.
Right.
We see balances. And these scientific evidences, the structures, the complexity of life, the information in the life,
mm-hmm.
leads us to the logical consequence that there is a creator behind that.
But some people will say, some people say that's just the order of the universe, and also it is illogical to believe in something that you cannot prove. It is like a blind following the blind. How do we tackle this view? That it's just a blind person saying, believe in something, so put something on the table made out of air and then just say this is a god, and then just follow it. You can't prove it, nobody else can prove it, and everyone just follows like a cult. And that's how some people view Islam, like a cult following, where just you've got one blind person making these claims, then another person saying fine. And when people say there is a scientific process behind it, that's the simple answer that astrologists give, is that's the order of the cosmos, that's the order of the planet Earth, that's the magnets and so forth. How do we see that?
Yeah, no, that is not true at all, because we have infinite proofs of the existence of Allah. There is nothing complicated about the religion of an existence of Allah. For example, and straightforward, mm-hmm. even a small child.
Yes.
Whenever we look at we see a three-dimensional colorful vision.
Yes.
We see, for example, in a room, we see our body, we see a three-dimensional colorful view, and we hear. And there are photons outside, and they are reflected into our brain,
uh-huh.
and these photons reach the retina of our eyes, and they are transformed into electric signals. And these electric signals travel in a complete darkness in the brain. There is complete darkness in the brain.
Right.
And there is no light outside, because the structure of the atoms, there is complete darkness, and the center of the atoms is nothingness.
Okay.
There is nothing in the atoms, in 99%. And there is no color outside. There is no light.
Mm-hmm.
So these electric signals are interpreted in our brain, in a very small area of our brain, into this colorful three-dimensional view.
Right.
So we immediately know there must be a creator behind that, because it is not our brain and there is no light outside.
Sure.
But we're living in a three-dimensional, colorful environment and vision.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, there is no sound outside, but there is movement of the air molecules, and they are transformed into electric signals, and then it transforms into human sound, into music.
Yes.
So there must be creator of these perceptions, like in our dreams, for example.
Okay.
Or we can think also this way: I did not exist before,
uh-huh.
and out of nothingness, I started to exist, seeing this three-dimensional colorful view. I can hear, I can think, I can judge.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I did not create myself. There must be a creator behind that.
Sure.
So there is nothing complicated about the existence of Allah.
Okay,
and beyond that, there are infinite number of scientific evidences of the existence of Allah.
All right. We'll come to those in a moment. I just wanted to let all the listeners know, this is the Hidden Agenda Show. We are live to Reading and its surrounds. If you want to give us a call, 0818-975-8300, or send us a text, 07909-567-527. I am speaking to Harun Yahya's representative, Dr. Babuna. We are talking about evolution. So please send us your calls or send us your text messages and let us know what you think if you want to challenge any of these. So Dr. Babuna, let's move on to one of the aspects that we touched about, the way the universe and the galaxies and so forth. There is a theory called the Big Bang Theory, and it's a very popular in schools, colleges, universities. It may be a little old now, but if you can tell us what is the Big Bang Theory, and also what is the Islamic viewpoint of the Big Bang Theory, inshallah.
Okay, and just before moving this, I would like to add a couple of more sentences.
Okay.
This perceptions that we perceive.
Yes.
Since we don't see our eyes are blind, there must be an inner eye which can see, there must be an inner ear which can hear, and that is our soul. Allah gives the information in the Quran. We don't have much information about the soul, because
uh-huh.
soul is not matter. So soul is something beyond matter, and that destroys Darwinism and materialism completely, because it is not matter.
But again, soul cannot be proved.
Allah breathes your soul.
Yeah, but again, just on that point, soul cannot be proved in an empirical or in a lab environment. There's no test that you can do to prove that it exists. It's just people have to believe, people such as yourself or the Muslims that say it exists.
Yes, empirical means experiments.
Yes.
And whoever does this experiment in their brains. They can never leave their brains out. and it can never take a look at what is outside. So, and there must be a creator of these, all these perceptions, and that is the creator of the system we call Allah.
Okay, so let's move on. That's fair enough. Let's move on to the Big Bang Theory, if you can explain that to us, inshallah, what that is, and what is the Islamic viewpoint.
Yes, the Big Bang has started with the calculations of Albert Einstein and Alexander Friedman at the beginning of the 20th century.
Okay.
They calculated that the universe could not be static, as materialists claim. Materialism is an ancient dogma. And it's a false religion, which goes back to the time of ancient Greece and old times, which claims the matter, which claims there is absolute existence of the matter, and nothing exists beyond this matter. And they said, universe must be static. That is a materialist claim. That means universe must have existed since eternity and will exist eternally. That's their claim. However, Einstein calculated that the universe could not be static. But because of the materialist pressure of his time, he added some cosmological constants to fit his calculations into the materialist model. But then he confessed that that was the biggest mistake of his entire career. Anyway, Edwin Hubble, the American astronomer, observed with his telescope that the spectrum of the light of the stars, of the galaxies, were moving toward the red, at a shift toward red. And according to the laws of the physics, that the shift of the spectrum of the light moving toward red, that means that the galaxies, the stars, are moving away from us.
I see.
If they are moving toward us, if they would move toward us, the spectrum of the light moved toward violet. However, they found that it moves toward red. That means all the galaxies and the stars are moving away from us.
Okay.
All the objects. So that means the universe is expanding. That was the first powerful evidence. Then in 1948, George Gamow, another scientist, he claimed there must be remnants of the beginning of the universe, because if the universe was expanding, they said, if you go far back enough in time, we must have a beginning point of the universe. So the universe must have a beginning, which was started out of nothingness.
I see.
They said there must be remnants of the radiation from the first moment. In 1965, two scientists, Arnold Penzias and Robert Penzias and Arnold Wilson, they found out that there is a cosmic background radiation, and NASA launched a satellite in 1989, called satellite. It found out in 8 minutes, discovered this cosmic background radiation, which is the radiation from the first moment of the Big Bang. So Big Bang is a theory.
Okay.
Proven with the scientific fact.
So it is fact then?
Yes. So that shows us the universe had a beginning about 15 billion years ago.
Okay.
Matter, time, and space originated out of nothingness.
I see.
Now, if you look at the Quran...
Out of nothingness.
And if you look at the Quran, you see verses exactly compatible with the Big Bang.
Really?
And Allah says, Allah created the universe out of nothingness. I'm going to recite from the Quran.
Okay.
I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah says, and it is... We, who this is from Surah Az-Zariyat, Zariyat 47.
Okay.
And it is we who have constructed the heaven with might, and verily, it is we who are steadily expanding it. Allah says Allah is expanding the universe. So this is compatible with the first evidence from Edwin Hubble, as you remember.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
The universe is expanding.
Okay.
The second evidence, another verse from the Quran is, Allah says in Surah Al-An'am 101, He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. So Allah says, Allah originated, Allah created heavens and earth, the entire universe, out of nothingness. And this is also compatible with the Big Bang, because Big Bang has proven that Allah created the universe out of nothingness. And the third verse is from Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 30, Allah says, do those who are unbelievers not see that the heavens and the earth were sewn together, and then we unstitched them, and that we made from water every living thing. So Allah says, the heavens and the earth were sewn together. And Allah uses two specific words, fatk and ratk. And if we check the meanings of these Arabic words, that means all of them was together, like a single point, as Big Bang claims. Mm-hmm. The entire atom, matter, and everything was together. Allah says Allah separated them, Rask. Which means, like something, for example, a flower or a plant coming out of the seed.
Right.
So, through Big Bang, the Big Bang has shown, through Big Bang, it's called like big explosion, but in fact it's not an explosion because it's a very delicate creation.
Okay.
The universe, the matter, time and space, mm-hmm. came out of nothing from a single point. And they call the single point, the physicists, with zero volume and infinite, the zero volume and infinite concentration. But this is not true because Allah, the single moment before the Big Bang, there was nothingness.
Okay.
And it has shown scientifically everything was created out of nothingness. So Big Bang is compatible with the Quran, which is exactly indicated in the Quran.
Okay, this is quite interesting. It's like a kind of a mini history lesson for me as well. So one thing I want to raise here, which is very interesting, is that your explanations and explanations that MashaAllah Harun Yahya has done is very different in nature to those that are done by the Christian creationists. They use a lot of the biblical type of arguments, and a lot of those arguments have been destroyed. However, when you look around, it's more challenging to the evolutionists to challenge the Islamic Muslim view of creationism. Do you think because the Christians refer back to the Bible, and the Bible doesn't stand up to the same level of information that the Quran can give, or is it different?
Yes, Bible is, as you know, Allah says the Bible was also revealed by Allah, and the Torah was revealed by Allah. Mm-hmm. But they are changed. There are many parts of the Bible is changed, although there are parts which are compatible with the Quran. But many parts of the Bible are being changed. So the Christians lose from the very start, because the creationist Christians, they believe in a 6,000 history of life. They say the old world was created 6,000 years ago, but
right.
We have fossils which are millions of years old. We have fossils 100 million years old, 500 million years old. We have even fossils 3.5 billion years old. So it is a wrong claim, and Darwinists, they even laugh about it. They lose from the very beginning. But the scientific evidence has proved us that the universe has a beginning about 15 billion years since Big Bang. And our world is about 4.6 billion years old. That is true, with scientific evidences. So this is compatible with Islam, because there is nothing indicated about the age of the earth or age of the universe. And these are scientific evidences. But the fact is, but the most important from the Quran is, Allah tells us, Allah creates everything with His word, be out of nothingness.
Right.
Allah creates whatever He wants with His infinite power, with His word, be. That's
okay.
The bottom line.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you're giving some really good answers, and I think these answers are open to everyone. If you want to give us a call on 0118-975-8300, or send us a text on 0790-957-527. This is the Hidden Agenda Show. We are live to Reading and its surrounds, and you are most welcome to send us a text, give us a call. Let us know if you have any questions in this area. Whether you are Muslim or not, it doesn't matter. Evolution and Darwinism affects all of us, and it's in our schools, colleges and universities. Okay, alhamdulillah. Dr. Babuna, one question that does come to mind is, people ask, is there a possibility of there being more than one creator, more than one God? I mean, I know a lot of Hindus have this concept of multiple gods. We even have the concept of Trinitarian concept in Christianity. So do you think there's a possibility that, say you got the evolution believing that there is a creator, what is there stopping that there's not multiple creators or more than one creator?
First of all, we understand scientifically and logically, there's nothing complicated about that,
right.
That there is a creator. Allah is the creator of everything. And in fact, Allah gives this question that what would happen if there are more than one God in the Quran. Allah gives Himself. So I'm going to recite from the Quran. I read the answer from the Quran. I
okay.
Seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah says in the Quran, if there had been any gods beside Allah in heaven or earth, they would both be ruined. Glory be to Allah, Lord of the throne beyond what they describe. Right. In another verse, chapter 23, verse number 91, Allah says, Allah has no son, and there is no other God accompanying him, for then each God would have gone off with what he created, and one of them would have been exalted above the other. So that's the answer from the Allah.
Right. Okay, alhamdulillah. Alright, let's move on to some more information. Now, at the beginning of our discussion today, you mentioned that there wasn't much in the way of crossbreeds, or what we call transient fossils and transient life. Now, I've done some research on this myself. I have to say there is a very large list of transitional fossils. Now, I got the list from Wikipedia, and it covers all sorts, from the evolution of insects, spiders, invertebrates, to fish, bony fish, turtles, lizards, to snakes. I mean, there's a picture of a lizard with, there's a picture of a snake with feet, and also the other one called the mangrove rivulus, which is a fish which has a fin, or looks actually between a fish and a reptile. It looks in between the two. So how do we look at this? Because this is actual evidence. This is not something that is made up. The mangrove rivulus, they say, hides in logs for long periods of time. It's an amphibious fish. And they claim that this is a kind of transitional fossil. And there's lots, dinosaurs to birds, bird evolution, and obviously then evolution of a horse and so forth. So I could go on for quite a long time, but it's quite detailed. How do you explain, Dr. Bubuna, how do you explain all these millions of fossils which are transitional?
Okay, I'll give scientific answers from the fossils and from the molecular biology, from genetics. First, we have to do the description of the transitional forms. This is the assertion of the Darwinists, the claim of the Darwinists. They say that the species
yes.
evolved to other species through successive minute variations over billions of years.
Okay.
So if evolution be a fact, we have to see these successive minute changes in the five examples. So we have to see half fish, half reptile, half reptile, half bird,
yes.
half reptile, half mammal fossils. And these so-called imaginary transitional forms must far outnumber the stable species. Because if you have two species, then the transitions between these two species must be over millions. So if you have, for example, according to scientists, we have several million species, that means we must have billions, even trillions of transitional forms. And these transitional forms
yes.
must be pathological and asymmetrical, and they must show us all the transitions of the organs. For example, we must have transitions from a non-winged creature to a full-winged creature with pathology and asymmetry. For example, little bit wing, little bit feathers, 10% wing, single wing, 75% wing, 90% wing, and 100% wing. So these are called transitional forms.
Yeah, but you're not going to find all these because obviously the earth changes, people dig up the lands, you may not find such detailed a level of fossils. Are you then denying that transitional fossils, the ones have been found, are not true?
Now, I'm going to give the answer from the pioneers of Darwinism.
Okay.
Charles Darwin says, this is from Charles Darwin, he says, by this theory, he talks about evolution, as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed. Why do we not find them embedded in the countless numbers in the crust of the earth?
But we do.
Why then is not every geological formation and every stratum full of such intermediate links? He says there are no transitional forms. Who says that? The founder of Darwinism. And he believed that they will be found in the future. However, there were a lot of fossils at this time.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read from Niels Eldridge. Niels Eldridge is one of the most prominent Darwinist paleontologists of the world, from the United States. And he's a Darwinist. Niels Eldridge says, the record jumps. That's the fossil record he talked about. The fossil record jumps. And all the evidence shows that the record is real. He says fossil record is real.
Okay.
The gap we see reflects real events in life's history, not the artifact of a poor fossil record, he says. he says the record jump, that means there are no transitions between species. Remember what Charles Darwin said?
Yes.
He said the only evidence for evolution must come from the fossil evidence, because since we did not live in the past, we can only know from the fossil record what kind of living things in the past, whether they evolved into other species or not. But the fossil record, 350 million fossils, tells us there are no transitional forms. That means no transitional forms. And no transitional forms means, of course, no evolution. Because species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. That means they are created by Allah, one by one, which is worthy of Allah. So Allah did not create through evolution.
Okay, so how do you explain, like, the most famous transitional fossil were the one which is the Berlin specimen? It is called the Archaeopteryx lithographica. Now that's one of the most famous, and that's just one out of, there's hundreds on this page on Wikipedia, hundreds of transitional fossils, and they say that even the term transitional fossil is a misconception, because it's used by creationists to say they don't exist. However, what they're trying to show on this page is that they do exist. Like they have shown a snake that has feet. So are we saying that Allah didn't create this, or these fossils are not true? What are we saying?
Yes, it's not I say there are no transitional forms, but Charles Darwin says there are no transitional forms. And all the most prominent Darwinists say there are no transitional forms. The claims of Darwinism,
yeah.
I know there are some...
Richard Dawkins wouldn't agree with that. Richard Dawkins wouldn't agree. Yes. Richard Dawkins says, yes, there is proof.
But Richard Dawkins says, he talks about the Cambrian period, Cambrian explosion,
yes,
where all the different animal groups appeared all at once and fully formed. He said that they are planted there without an evolutionary history. You know what that means?
Okay.
That means there is no transition, no evolution.
Right.
So Richard Dawkins accepts that. Anyway, so the thing is, the ones you are talking about,
yes,
are stable species. Stable species means they are living beings, fully formed, and they don't have any flaws, and they appear all at once. Because if you look at the fossil record, we've seen the fossil record. Our listeners can find it from the Creation Atlas of Mr. Harun Yahya.
Yes.
We check the fossil record. We check the fossil of a living being. Say, for example, a bird.
Yes.
You talked about Archaeopteryx, okay?
Yes.
If you check the fossil record of the birds, we see them, they appear all at once and fully formed with wings, with hollow bones, and with their respiratory tract fully formed. That means creation, there is no evolution. Then also, I told you, not only the fossil record, but if you look at the genetics, and if you check genetically, if there is any mechanism which adds new genetic information to the DNA. As you know, for evolution,
yes,
evolution's claim is new genes are required. New genes, new proteins, brand new organs, which did not exist before, but they would exist through random changes, mutations, and that means through chance, of course.
Right.
However, there is no such mechanism. DNA is fully formed in the first sample of a species. How
okay.
do we know this? By comparison, we check the fossil, and if we check the living being today, we see there is no difference, millimetrically the same, that means no evolution. The only mechanism created by Allah in the cell is the replication of the DNA, the copying of the DNA.
Right.
And through this mechanism, no new gene is added to the DNA. It is impossible.
Okay.
It is impossible for a gene, complex structure such as the gene, to exist through mutation, through random mechanisms. Mutations only harm the living things. It is like something like this, hitting a computer with a hammer. You know what most famous biology textbook of the world says? This is Campbell and Reed, number one biology textbook of the world, studied
right.
in the university in UK, USA. Neil Campbell in his book says, this in this biology textbook, although it's a Darwinist textbook, mutations, he says, is like shooting the hood of the car. Shooting the hood of the car
right.
and making the engine performance better. So it is impossible. If you shoot the hood of your car,
yeah.
your engine performance never gets better. You're damaged. Mutations are only damaging.
Okay, so what you're explaining is that, for example, some of the examples I've given, like the snake with feet, you're saying Allah created that creature as it was. It wasn't a transitional. Allah just created another snake or a reptile, but this one had feet. Or, for example, like like the saber-toothed tiger, which has the teeth, and then other tigers didn't have the teeth, which was so long. So what you're saying is that the saber-toothed tiger, as an example, Allah created it complete as it was, and then when it died, it died. You know, it didn't evolve into something else. But that was different to the tigers of today, which Allah created in complete form. Is this what you're saying? Do we understand it in this way?
No. Absolutely. I mean, the fossil record shows us these living beings that they are talking about, or any fossil, they are fully formed. They don't have any heart organs or pathology or asymmetry. And there is another known scientific fact. It's called mosaic animals. Mosaic animals is a well-known fact, the term from the paleontology. Mosaic animals means sometimes living beings, they have features of more than one living being. For example, there is a platypus living in Australia.
Yes.
Platypus is a living being which lives today. It's a stable species, perfect animal, and the fossil of the platypus is exactly the same of the living being today. Platypus has the features of a reptile, of a bird, of a mammal at the same time.
Wow.
It has a fur like a mammal, and it lays eggs like reptiles, and it has a beak like birds.
Right.
But the mosaic animals are not transitional forms. And Stephen Jay Gould, for example, is a Harvard paleontologist from the United States. He's a very famous Darwinist paleontologist. He says, mosaic animals are not transitional forms.
I see.
These animals, for example, there is a flying fish.
Yes.
This fish, it can fly for about 200 meters.
Yes.
It has wings, it can fly.
Yes.
If evolution would find this flying fish fossils, and they would be extinct if there would be no flying fish today, they would immediately present this fossil as a transitional form.
Okay.
If they would immediately extinct. But it is a living being, perfectly formed, appears as a flying fish about 50 million years ago. We have fossils of flying fish millions of years old, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a transitional form. Transitional forms mean formation of organs and structures step by step, randomly, and they must be pathological and asymmetrical, and there is not even a single transitional form, because Mr. Harun Yahya Pace, he offered that into the world media.
Right.
$7 million American dollars, about five million British pounds.
Wow.
To anybody who brings a single transitional form.
5 million,
and
wow.
Since 4 years, nobody appeared. Then he changed his offer and said, okay, if you cannot bring the fossil, cannot bring you the single fossil, then you can bring a picture and I will still pay in cash.
Wow.
5 million British
5 million.
Pounds. You know?
Okay. For the Wunnum, for the listeners. Well, there's a challenging shout out to the listeners of Wunnum FM. On the Hidden Agenda Show, live to Wunnum FM, for the first time ever, we will be giving out £5 million via Harun Yahya if you can bring proof of a transient fossil. There you are. Okay, you are listening to the Hidden Agenda Show. We are live to Running in the Surrounds. This is Naz, and my special international guest, Dr. Babuna from Harun Yahya Organization. Give us a call, audible 18-975-8300, or send us a text on 07909-567-527. And if you want to challenge or refute any of the points that Dr. Babuna or Harun Yahya's organization has made, or even the Hidden Agenda Show today, give us a call, send us an email, send us a text, and let us know. Okay, alhamdulillah, Dr. Babuna, I think we need to wrap up the show. However, I have a personal question myself, which I don't think anyone's ever answered, so I thought I'll have a go and ask yourself. I've asked many people about the question about dinosaurs, and there's no evidence in the Quran or the Hadith, or no Imam can ever explain it. Maybe from your perspective, maybe you have some explanation. How does this fit into Islam? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never mentioned this. Is there anything we know about dinosaurs? Did they exist? We know from fossils they existed. And then they just disappeared.
Yes, and we know scientifically today, about more than 90% of the species became extinct by Allah's decree, inshallah.
Yes.
So this is a scientific fact, and Allah wanted it this way. Allah created many living things, and they became extinct. And dinosaurs is one of them, because we have the fossils.
Yes.
We have the fossils of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
We know they did exist. And it's perfectly compatible with the Quran, because Allah created dinosaurs. They are very cute, huge animals. Very cute. So they became extinct. They lived in the past. About 60 million years ago, they became extinct, inshallah.
Sure. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Jazakallah khair for that. Jazakallah for your time. We're obviously going to wrap up the show. Inshallah, time's caught up, but this has gone very, very quickly. I'd just like to say, may Allah continue to put barakah and guide the people of Harun Yahya and increase in hasana and increase both in intellect, in amal, and in the good works that you people do. It's a real credit for the Muslim ummah wherever they are. Jazakumullah khair for this.
Jazakallah khair. And I want to say as a last, Darwinism is a pagan religion which denies the existence of the Creator. It is not science, it is a nonsense which goes to the time of the back to the Sumerians and the Pharaoh of the Egypt. Mm-hmm. The Pharaoh of the Egypt said the same thing. He said, living things emerged out of the mud of the Nile River in the ancient Egypt and also in the ancient Greece. Evolution did not start with Charles Darwin. It's a pagan religion which goes back to the 4,000 years back.
Interesting.
So it is the greatest bigotry of the entire human history. But the problem with Darwinism is it automatically leads to communism, to violence, to terror, to fascism, to racism.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the time we must struggle scientifically against Darwinism nonsense. This is the greatest fitna system of the Dajjal of these times. So
inshallah,
we must struggle against that. This is the obligation of every Muslim. So if you go to the website of HarunYahya.com,
okay,
all these books are free of charge. The documentaries, please use it in the way of Allah. Against this Darwinism nonsense, this is our duty. And this will bring peace, security, justice, love, freedom of thought to the entire world with the eradication of Darwinism. And these good days are very close by because Darwinism and materialism going down, and there's a progress in the religion on the entire world by the leave of Allah, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair, inshallah, for your time and for the message. I hope all the listeners will do that. And hopefully, I hope to catch up with you again, inshallah, maybe next week. Jazakumullah khair, and we will see you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Aleyküm selam ve rahmetullah ve berekatuhu. And I send brother Adnan Oktar, Harun Yahya salam to all my Muslim brothers and sisters and Christians and Jews there, inshallah.
Amin. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, folks, that was Dr. Babuna, Dr. Oktar Babuna from Harun Yahya organization, talking about this very, very crucial subject. As you can see, I try to do as much research as I can and try to present as many difficult questions as I could to Dr. Babuna, obviously via Harun Yahya organization, so that he can obviously be challenged live in a debate. And I challenge anyone else that would like to come on the show. You're more than welcome. You'll be invited to the Hidden Agenda show and come live if you want in the studio or over the phone and challenge Dr. Babuna or any of the other representatives from Harun Yahya with your ideas, especially Professor Richard Dawkins or Stephen Hawking or any of the other eminent scholars, scientists, evolutionists and biologists out there as well. This is a show for anyone out there. You do not have to be Muslim. Anyone who wants to participate, the subject matter is open. And as you can see, there is no, uttering, there's no hindrance, there's no laziness. The questions are answered promptly, precisely, with evidence. And I will catch you next week, and I leave you with the salutation of a Muslim, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.